Thank you all for the good singing this morning. We will be in Hebrews chapter 11. Once again, we're beginning our missions month, and we'll place an emphasis in roundabout ways on missions or faith as it comes to, as it is related to missions. And once again, our missions conference will be September 20th through 23rd. And last year, during part of our missions month, we looked at faith. And I believe it's so important, and with all that has transpired in 2020, and I know at much of 2020, my faith has been shook, and I believe many of us could testify to that through one thing after another, not just coronavirus, 2020 all the way around in many ways, in many ways in which we were comfortable, we've become uncomfortable. And so this year, many things have shook us perhaps to our core in different ways. Our faith has been tried, and I believe we just need to be reminded about faith and the importance of faith. And we're going to begin a short series on faith, and this morning we'll be in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith chapter. This is a beautiful chapter by far. One of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, because of all the names that it listed and what they were able to accomplish through faith. And were it not for faith, they wouldn't accomplished any of it. And we're going to be the same way for God. With faith, we can accomplish great things for God. But without faith, we won't please Him, and we won't accomplish the things that He would have for us to accomplish. And we're going to look at what faith looks like, and by the way, you can check in and uncheck all the boxes, but it is still impossible to please God without faith. You can come to church, you can do all kinds of stuff, but you won't please God without faith. You won't do it. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For him that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, as we come before You this morning, we ask You to remind us this morning about faith. I ask You, Lord, to increase our faith. It's been a very trying year for many. I dare say everybody in this room, it's been a trying way in some way, shape, or form. And we just ask You, Lord, to increase our faith this morning. Increase our faith this month. We're coming up into our missions conference. We're coming up into faith promise. And I do believe, Lord, that if we don't increase our faith, if we stay weak in faith through the many things and the challenges that have happened throughout this year, it may reflect in our giving. It may reflect in where our faith is. And I ask You, Lord, to encourage us this morning and strengthen us in the area of faith. May we keep our faith and our trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. It takes faith to believe in God, who He is, and it takes faith to believe that God will reward those that diligently seek Him. Now, at times, we get busy diligently seeking, and if we don't think see things add up as quickly as we would like, then there comes the battle. We start getting weak in faith. We begin to doubt. Now, I still know throughout 2020 that God has a plan, but it just seems like every week something else happens. Every week something else pops up throughout this year, and I start asking God once again where He's at in all of this. Where's His hand at in all of this? You see, at many times, faith is out the window today because we don't trust God to reward as He says He will. But this month, we will be reminded of those who trusted God to do what He said He would. This Bible is full of promises. That's what I love about it. And God's going to fulfill every one of them, and we can take it to the bank. When He says He's going to do it, He's going to do it. And if we do our part, He's going to come through on His. See, much of the time, we don't do our part, and then when He don't do His because we didn't do ours, then He gets the blame. But that's not the way it works. You do your part, and God will never leave you hanging. He never will. He never has. and he's not going to start now. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We'll pause right there. Faith is two part. Faith and hope go together. It says here, in the same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. It is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession and present fruition of those things. Gives them a subsistence in the soul by the first fruits and foretaste of them, so that believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the first part is, you've prayed it. You've prayed it. You've gone to God about it. And because you've prayed it, and because you ask for it, your faith is so strong in who God is that you have it before you ever have it. You know, has there ever been a time where somebody promised you something, and even though you didn't see it yet, you had so much faith in the person that they were going to give it to you because they said they would? We've had this happen with other people. I've had people tell me, they say, you know what, I'm going to give you this. It's mine, and I know you would like it, and I'm going to give it to you. And because I trust them and because I have belief in them, I know I'm going to get it even though I haven't seen it yet. Even though they've not delivered it to me yet, because I trust them and because I have faith in them, I know I'm going to get it. Because you know God is going to get it and you're going to have it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hopefully you see this today, that you bring your hopes before God, not necessarily wishes and desires. It uses the word hope. Hope is defined as a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. We have a hope. We talk about the blessed hope. We get that through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he's never lied to us, that he's never let us down, and he's not going to start now. The word substance is defined as something real, not imaginary, something solid, not empty. That means your faith is so real, what you ask for is coming soon. You treat it as though you already got it. I want something to sink in this morning with all of us, myself included, that if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have this kind of faith. So many times God sends us to do something. So many times God sends us to do something, and we doubt him before we ever get started. He wants you to go pass out a tract. Oh, they don't want that. They ain't going to get saved. They don't want that. They don't want to hear it. He told you to do it. Have some faith that if you pass out that tract, they're going to get saved. Maybe they will. Maybe if we start doing things that God sends us to do, having faith in him to make it happen, maybe we'll start seeing more stuff happen. Maybe we'll start seeing more stuff even in our own very church happen. Secondly, in breaking down faith, faith is the evidence of things not seen, which means faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. Faith is the firm assent of the soul to the divine revelation and every part of it, and sets to its seal that God is true. Faith in the unseen. No man's ever seen God. No man's ever seen the Holy Spirit. No man living has seen heaven. No man living has seen Christ perform miracles that are recorded in this Bible, or seen Christ die on the cross and then raised from the grave 3 days later. No man living's ever seen with their own eyes any event in this book play out before their very eyes, because it was written before our time, so it takes faith to believe this Bible. And that's why many people don't believe it, because they don't have faith. They don't have faith in God. But you got to teach them that they do have faith. It's just who they place their faith and trust in. I've never met anybody that went out and tried to start their car and it didn't start that was completely and utterly shocked that it did not start. They had faith in it. When they turned the key, it was going to start. I've never seen people sit in a chair and it collapse to the floor and not be completely and utterly shocked. If they thought it was going to do that, they wouldn't have sat in it. But they had faith in the chair to hold them up. They had faith in their car to start. They had faith in the people to make their food and not do nothing crazy to it. I mean, faith, we could just go all around the room in all different kinds of scenarios. So it's not that people have a problem with faith, it's that they have a problem with faith in God. They can't see all the components in the car when they turn the key, but they trust it's there. How many of you look under the hood before you get in the car and turn the key? You don't do that. You got faith that everything that is needed to start your car is there. It's faith in God that people have a problem with. And if it's not careful, it can plague us. It can plague us as Christians. It takes faith to believe this Bible. And we do because of who God is. No man in this book never knew every detail of how God was going to come through for them. They just had to have the faith to do what God said. In Accessory of Baptist Church, if you're waiting on God to reveal to you the blueprints of what He's doing, if you're waiting on God to give you step-by-step instructions that every single way, that every single step that you're going to take is just going to be of ease and there's nothing wrong that's ever going to happen, if you're waiting on God to give you all the supplies you'll need in advance, if you're waiting on God to tell you that you won't get sick to move, or all the people you'll need to help you, you'll need in advance, or the time, money, energy in advance, you might as well forget it. And sit down and throw up your hands. Because with this, we'll never do anything for God. Our church will never go forward for God. When God gives us a vision, we have to embrace it. I can't tell you every step of the way. Wish I could, but I can't. I'm trusting in God just like you. I'm trusting in God that, you know what, the blessings will be there. I'm trusting in God that, you know what, other things won't fall in our path that we would wish not. But I can't guarantee you that. I'm trusting it. But if the Lord brings some things across our path while fulfilling His vision for us as a church, we're going to have to deal with it. If we wait on God to reveal everything to us, we'll never move. And because of our weak faith, we'll also never please God either. You also won't have a good report. They had a good report. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Because of their faith, they had a good report. That's something to be said too. It says, for by it the elders. It's important. Those who are more seasoned in the faith, it's important, live by faith. Those coming behind you are watching. They're watching your faith. You know what? We're still encouraged by books, by guys like George Mueller, who lived by faith, day by day, lived by faith. The Lester Roloffs, while the government is at full-out assault against them. Day by day, week by week. We've had it easy. I've had it easy. We have seasons. We have bouts. We have different trials and things that come up in our life. But folks, in the grand scheme of things, we have had it, and I have had it a whole lot easier than folks in a lot of other places. I was just reminded the other day, I thought my Bible college experience was tough. Going to Bible college, getting up at 4 in the morning, getting home at 11 o'clock or so at night. I thought that was tough for me and didn't work. And then I hear about Bible college students in Myanmar that sleep on the concrete floor for 4 years. They sleep on a concrete floor while they attend Bible college. So we just have it easier than what we think we do. The worst thing that's happened to you in this room, something worse has happened to somebody else. Folks meet with me all the time over decisions that will require faith. It'll take faith in order for them to come through on them. And you know what? It takes faith in order for me to come through on mine. Now, I wish I could stand up here and tell you that every time God told me to move, I didn't ask him if he was sure. Or ask him, well, what about this? What about that? God wants our instant obedience. Instant obedience. Just do what he asks. And you know what? You learn why along the way. You know, when I was in boot camp, I hated everybody there. Everybody there. Even myself. I hated everybody there. But then once I got out and then I was in the fleet, I was thinking, okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. Now I know why I was screaming all the time. You got to be able to scream over bullets. In combat, things just start making sense. Now I understand why they got us running all the time. Now I understand why they had us hiking all the time. Now I understand why there were uniform standards. Now I understand all this stuff. But it took being removed from the situation and looking back on the situation to understand why you were going through it to begin with. God just wants you to move. He'll show you why later. But so many people, and at times, like I said, I can be included in it, we want to know what's going to happen. We want to know how it's going to play out. I like to have things planned. We don't typically just set out on a trip. We like to know what we're doing when we get going. We'll have a halfway point before we get started. We'll know about where we're going to stop, where we're going to stay. I like to have things somewhat planned out in case something happens. But God wants us to move and trust him with what happens. That don't always go well for us, but we got to trust in God. We got to have faith in him. And I'm praying that when folks come to me about things that will require faith, I'm praying that in their venture to do what is right by not only God but their family, that they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, many times we think that faith and trust in Jesus Christ is only upon salvation. No, it's daily. Placing your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Every day you got to wake up and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's not for salvation. Now, once you're saved, you're saved. One and done. And you'll never lose it. But sanctification. If you're going to be sanctified, if you're going to be set apart, if you're going to be Christ-like, you're going to have to place your faith and trust in him every step of the way. At every juncture in this life. And you'll not please God without faith. Verse 2, we said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it the elders obtained a good report. What is the word it here? Faith. We could say, for by their faith the elders obtained a good report. Without faith, by the way, these men and women would not have had a good report. We want to have a good report. Live by faith. You'll have a good report. Stuff will be said like this. So-and-so don't have much money, but they're happy. So-and-so sure don't have much time for recreation, but they're happy. I have people sometimes that I feel like they're feeling sorry for me because we don't have a whole lot of time for recreation. But no, we're happy. We are. We don't have time for all the things that the world has to offer, but we're happy. Our boys are happy. They don't have to have everything that the world has going on to be happy. You set your sights on Christ, you'll find it. And it doesn't go away when the season is over. It doesn't go away unless you step away from God in fellowship. Then you'll lose some happiness. The reason why is because by faith they do without some things. Because it's more important to serve God and please God than it is to live a comfortable life. One of these days, don't know when, I'd love to go on a missions trip. People keep telling me it'll change my life. People keep telling me it'll change my heart, it'll change my life, it'll change the way I view everything. One day I'm going to end up going, don't know when, but I want to go somewhere, and I want to see what real Christianity looks like. I want to see what a true sacrifice looks like for Christ. Because sometimes we feel like we are. Sometimes we feel like we're doing it. Sometimes we feel like we're on the bottom end. But they have church all day. They'll have church 12, 14 hours. People walk 5 hours, 6 hours to get there. Folks today, if there ain't no air conditioning, they won't come. It says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I love that part. We're framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Think about creation. Did you see God do it? Did you see God create this earth, a literal six-day creation? Did you hear God speak all that he created into existence? None of us did. So it's through faith. It's through faith in what God said that he did it, because he said he did it. The word through means passing through. Essentially, there is no bypass or no way around it. God did it. And we have to have faith in God that he did it, because he said he did it. It's more faith in the character of God and who he is, but yet he places his word above his own name. If he says it, it happened. It did it. And we can have faith in who he is because his word says it. Similar use of the word Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you want the strength of Christ, you must go through him and not around him. So many times we get weak. Happens to me all the time. I wish I could tell you it didn't. But it happens to me all the time. You get caught up in battle. You get caught up in conflict. You get caught up in spiritual warfare. We were just talking about this on Friday night in the second talk. I mean, it happens. It happens to every one of us. We'll start relying on ourselves. We'll be going through self. We'll be going through our bank account. We'll be going through our means. We'll be going through our resources. And then we're going to end up so low we're crawling around on the floor, weak, little strength. Didn't go through Christ. Got to go through Christ for his strength. Got to go through him. There is no bypass. There is no way around to have the strength of Jesus Christ without going through him. You cannot bypass it. And in order to understand creation and the very real fact that by God it all came into existence, we must go through faith. We didn't see it. We didn't hear God speak it. So it takes faith. Moving down to verse 4, we're going to look at our first example of faith in all the Bible. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith here, that's our emphasis. This is the only way that Abel pleased God and Cain did not. How did Abel please God? He offered a more excellent sacrifice. Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. Both of them gave of what they had, but one was accepted and the other was rejected. And it comes down to the quality of the sacrifice. It goes even deeper than that. It points to the heart of both Cain and Abel. See, Cain gave of what he had, but he stepped back, looked at what he had. He counted the cost. He kept back the best and gave God the scraps. As where Abel stepped back, observed what he had, gave God the best of what he had. And this takes faith what Abel did. It takes faith to say, God, this is the best that I have. There's none greater than that, but I'll give it to you. It shows our love for him too. It shows giving him what he deserves also. He deserves it, not us. He deserves all this best, not us. But also, Abel knew that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And your best, when you give in return, is better than what my best was to begin with. You know, when you say you got $10, that's all you got left of your name, you give it to God. It takes faith to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you would have got with that, it's already on the way. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. There's been times in my life where I looked real closely at something that I had when I felt like the Lord wanted me to give it away. And you know what? The Lord's always blessed. We can forget trying, and this is no prosperity stunt. When you give to God, God gives back, and you cannot outgive God. You can't outgive him. We can throw out the paper with the budget when it don't add up, and we can trust God. And it says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. What he gave spoke to his righteousness. If you want to gauge the spirituality of a person, listen not to what they say, but look at what their offerings are. Because their offerings will bear witness to their righteousness and unrighteousness. I've been working with RU for a while. One thing I have learned about RU students is that a lot of them have learned to play the system. A lot of them are smooth talkers. They will try and sell you the shoes that are on your very feet. Smooth talkers. They know their way around the streets. They know what to say. They know what to get. They know how to get it. And I've learned throughout the years, you don't listen to what somebody's got to say. You look at what they're doing. Because they'll tell you, they'll give you all the right answers sometimes. And sometimes we as Christians are like that too. Confront something about somebody and they'll give you all the right answers. But the actions don't line up with what they're saying. The old term, actions speak louder than words, is very true. It don't matter so much what a man or woman says. What are they doing? And a man or woman's actions will bear witness to their righteousness or their unrighteousness. Their actions will speak volumes. What are they willing to give up for what is right? How much money are they willing to do without? How much time are they willing to take away from something or give towards something? How much energy do they have for everything else but they don't have for God? They say, I'm just too tired for outreach. I'm just too tired to work around the church. But not too tired to do other stuff. Abel's righteousness bore witness in his offerings to God. And Cain's unrighteousness bore witness through his offerings to God. Next phrase, it says, God testifying of his gifts. God will testify of what you give, of what you offer. Will it be acceptable and pleasing in his sight? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I stand here before you today and tell you, if you stand back and observe when God wants an offering, I can tell you right now, God wants everything that you have. Everything. He wants all of you. He wants everything that you have. If you stand back and you observe what you have, when God wants an offering, and you hold back the good, and you give God the scraps, then like Cain, he will reject your offering too. Which means you don't have a reward for your offering. Many Christians have their time separated, their energy separated, their effort separated, money separated. They have what's prime time. They have this as first. Unfortunately, they end up giving God something with an attitude like Cain. Here, take this. You must be willing to accept this. that this is what I'm giving you. Take this. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm willing to give. This is where I'm willing to go. And God won't have that. And it's a slap in the face of a God that deserves good quality offerings. I remember a basketball player a few years back. They tried to substitute him in a game to give him playing time in a blowout win, and he got upset. He didn't want to play at the end of the game in a blowout win. He got upset about that. Said he don't play garbage minutes. This came to my mind when I was thinking about our offerings. God don't want our garbage minutes. God don't want our garbage time, our garbage efforts, our garbage energy. He wants the first fruits. He wants what's best. And I've said this many a times, one of the best illustrations that I have, and I use myself quite a bit, was actually with me. And I remember I used to sit up really, really, really late on Saturday night and then get up on Sunday morning, and I was dragging in. And God told me that I was not giving him my first fruits. God cares about this stuff. He don't just care about it with me. He don't just care about it enough to convict me about it. Even with our tithes, that's the first thing that should ever come out of what we got. The very first thing, not last if I got it. Not last if I still got it still. Missions shouldn't be last if you still have it. He wants first fruits. He wants the best. He don't want what you have left. He wants what's off the top. And I need not to remind us today that he gave his life to save us from an eternity in the lake of fire. In eternal darkness. Apart from him, bound with the rulers of the darkness, the devil himself. He deserves the best of everything, the best of all of our time, the best of all of our energy, the best of all of our efforts. He deserves it, and he's worthy of it. One commentator says on verse 4, the first of the long line of martyrs triumphed by faith. And if you are to be strong to bear witness for God, you must be made strong by the same power which wrought so effectually in Abel. If like his, your life is to be a speaking life, a life which shall speak even out of the grave, its voice must be the voice of faith. Abel, the first martyr. Why? Abel was righteous. He made an offering. It pleased God, and his hell-filled brother Cain did not like it, got angry, and murdered him. Abel's righteousness cost him his life. Some would say, look at where faith got Abel. He pleased God, maybe, but he's dead. Crowns are still being laid to Abel's feet that he is giving to Christ. It's living eternity conscious. It's living to please God, and it takes faith. Abel, though his life is over, his testimony is still talking, still encouraging saints to have faith, still praising God, still showing us what faith looks like, still showing us that God is the rewarder for those who place their faith in him. This next emphasis is powerful, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Here's that word it again. It's referencing faith. We could say, and by his faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. By his faith. Though he's dead, he's still talking. And I want to encourage us this morning. If you want your life to still be talking long after you're gone, like Abel. And I mean, we can think of some folks that are like that. They wrote books. They left them behind. They wrote commentaries, some of them good. They left them behind. Left messages. If you want your life to still be talking long after you're gone, like Abel, it'll take faith. It was by Abel's faith that he pleased God. It was by Abel's faith that his life is still talking thousands of years later. And you know what? Some of you might say, you know what? I'll never write a book. Don't know how to write a book. Things like that. That's fine. There's a lot of people who've done great things for God, and somebody else wrote it. Somebody else wrote about them. Don't limit what God can do with your life. Don't limit the exposure that can come from your life even after you're gone. Your faith, your life of faith will speak after you're gone. God will ensure it. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. And it should go without saying, but if we're not giving anyone anything to talk about now, we won't be giving anybody anything to talk about years from now. These folks gave somebody something to talk about while they were alive. And because of that, they gave people something to talk about after they was gone. As the old song says, I want my life to count for Christ. All this other mess don't matter. It don't. We get all caught up in it. But we should want our life to count for Christ. Nothing else in this world is more important than a life that pleases God and a life that counts for Christ. Also remember Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. One of my goals in this life is to please God. I want to please Him. I want to please Him in what I say. I want to please Him in what I do. I want to please Him in where I go. I want to please Him in how I live my life. And if my speech is not becoming a faith, if my actions are not becoming a faith, if I live my life in a way that's not becoming the faith, then in all them areas, you're not going to please God. I trust this morning we'll increase our faith. The Lord uses trials to increase our faith. Don't dismiss them. Don't turn your back on God in them. But trust in Him during these. Keep your faith in Jesus Christ, and it must be renewed every day, every time something pops up. And you know what? You could be right there where you're supposed to be, and then something happens. And then you can get right back to where you're supposed to be after that something, whatever it was, happened. And then here comes something else that's going to happen. That's just the way it is. It's going to happen. So we're constantly, after every situation, after everything that goes on, trying to keep our faith in God. God has a destination for us, for every one of us. He's got a place that He wants you to go. He's got a destination for you to end up at. And all along the way, just like the Lord called the disciples into a storm, even though they were in His will and not out of His will, they were in His will doing what He told them to. He told them to board the ship. They're going to the other side. And that's what they did. They obeyed. They got in the ship. They go on the other side. Here comes a storm. And when you look at you research the body of water that they were on, it was referenced kind of almost like a large lake, so to speak. So imagine this storm. That had to be somewhat of a miracle in and of itself, that much of a storm on a body of water like that. But, I mean, He called them into the storm. We're going to face storms on the way to our destination that God has for us. We're going to face storms. Some of them that He's called us to. Some of them the devil's put there to trip us up because He don't want us to get to where God would have us to go. If you're saved, God has a destination for you. If you're not saved today, I encourage you to trust Christ. That's what He has for you right now, is to place faith and trust in Him. That's what He has for you. And then He'll reveal what else He has for you. And getting saved is good stuff, but fulfilling God's will for your life and going where He wants you to go, that's good stuff too. But it all begins with faith and trust in Christ, and then that never stops. Faith and trust in Christ. We got to do that. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before You once again this morning, I thank You, Lord, for the work that You do in my heart before every message. Sometimes I feel like I need it more than anybody else. But I thank You and I praise You for it. I ask You, Lord, to increase our faith in times of trial and times of struggle. Increase our faith, and may we daily place our faith and our trust in You. Jesus' name, amen.